Let's be turning to John chapter 16. In this passage, our Lord is telling his disciples and preparing his disciples for his departure. And I can only imagine the sorrow that has filled their hearts at hearing this news. But he tells them that he is sending them another comforter. Let's see this back in John 14. This is the same message he's been preaching. John 14, in verse 16, he tells them, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That means that Christ is our comforter, and he's sending another comforter. He is the comfort of our hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's sending us another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This other comforter is the Holy Spirit, and when he comforts us, when he comes, he shall comfort us as our Lord Jesus Christ comforts us. As he has comforted us, so the Spirit shall comfort us. He's going to teach us of Christ. He'll teach you of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and your need of him. And he leads the sheep of Christ to the shepherd. He leads us to Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us looking to and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Spirit. Now look down at verse 26, John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." What the Lord reveals to us is that without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Ghost, we would not know Christ. Without the giving of the Holy Spirit, you and I could not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We would only know him insofar as this flesh knows Christ. That would be it. And there's people that think of him and speak of Christ and have some knowledge of him, but they don't know him as their Lord and Savior. But you that do, you that call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you whose hope is Christ, your righteousness, and you have no other righteousness, that's the grace of God that has given that to you. You know him, you call upon him, you trust him and believe him because you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter that Christ speaks of here in this passage. And so this faith which you have, you be strengthened, you let your heart be strengthened, you take comfort in this because faith is the gift of God, not the product of our flesh. Faith is the gift of God. You who hope in Christ, who have no other righteousness, that is the gift of God. He tells us that in his word. Believe him. And that faith is manifested in us, revealed in us by the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote, "The Spirit of itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." He's talking about the faith which he reveals in your heart, that looks away from self, that has no confidence in this flesh, that knows, "I am a vile, wretched sinner, and I don't dare come before God in my own works, but we come with boldness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." We know, that's it. That's my only hope. That's my only acceptance with holy God, is the blood of Christ. And our God tells us, he promises, all you that trust in him, all you that call upon his name, you shall never die. you shall never be ashamed. You are received of the Father. Your sins are put away. Now, in John 16, verse 12, back in our text here, that's where we'll pick up. John 16, 12, Christ says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What could these things be that Christ has yet to say to his disciples? We know from the scriptures that everything that the Father gave Christ to say, he spoke it. He said exactly what the Father sent him to do. We see this back in John 15, verse 15. John 15, 15, here's this fact. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. That's why we can sing that hymn, hymn 354. What a friend we have in Jesus, because he calls us friends. What a grace. What a grace. You are friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He's declared that which the Father gave him to speak, he's declared it to his disciples. And when he prays to the Father, he says this as well. Look over in John 17. John 17, verse 6 and 8. 6 through 8. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. That which I have received is from the Father who sent me. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Therefore, when our Lord says to us, I have many things to say to you, I have yet many things to say unto you, it's not something new that he's revealing to us. It's not something new that he's going to reveal to the disciples or to us. But what he is saying is that it's going to be more gloriously clear to us. Those things that we have heard, that we heard without understanding, will be made known unto you. In the power of God, in the day appointed of God, he makes known to his child the things we have need of knowing, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be more clearly understood by us. So he's told his disciples that he must die and that he will rise again. And they heard him say those words. They heard him say those words, but through a very dim, dark glass. They heard him say, I'm going to be The Son of Man is going to be lifted up, and I'm going to draw all men unto me. And he spoke of his death, and he spoke of his resurrection. But it wasn't until Thomas saw his risen Lord, saw him come in the flesh with the wounds yet in his flesh, that he then exclaimed, My Lord and my God. Why? Because then he understood more clearly the words of Christ that he had heard. He understood with great power and authority from God. It was brought home to him. Christ said, ye cannot bear them now, but you will. You will. And he will make sure of it by the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look now at our text in John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So Christ sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in your hearts. You that believe Christ, you that call upon him, knowing that he is your very righteousness with God. It's because he reveals the mystery of God to you. The mystery that Paul writes of in this, in his epistles, is the mystery revealed in your hearts. The purpose of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. The purpose of God in sending Christ to provide an atonement, to provide reconciliation for you and your sins with holy God. He makes known Christ to the people, to the hearts of the people. His people know that he is their Savior. He's their Savior. He's a personal Savior. He's not just the general Savior of men. He's made unto us my Savior, my Lord, my God. Without him, I can do nothing, nothing. And so you believe Christ because the Holy Spirit was sent to you, and he makes known to the sheep what Christ has accomplished for each one of you. He makes you to know that. He shows you this redemption through regeneration. Through regeneration, we understand that none of us by nature can bear the words of Christ. In nature, in our sins, in Adam, we cannot bear the things that Christ says to the people. We cannot bear them except we have the Spirit of God. This is why Christ said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." You must be born again. I must be born again. Without the regeneration, that's what we call it, this new birth is the regeneration, being made alive again, being raised up from the dead by the Spirit, by the power of God, by the resurrection in the Spirit of God. Without that, we cannot bear the words of Christ. We cannot understand the purpose of God, which is purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ and made known unto us by the giving of the Spirit, who reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals to us what God has purposed in sending him. Why did God send his only begotten Son? Because I cannot save myself, and I'm a wretched, vile, worthless sinner, who has no righteousness of my own and no ability to make a righteousness of my own, but he's provided everything in his darling Son. And I know this now and understand this to the degree that he's given it to me in Christ by his Spirit, to know and understand what Christ has done for me. His power and salvation is shown by and applied by the Spirit of God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in verse 6 and 7. Paul says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." You that have the Spirit of God are perfect because you've been made perfect by the Lord Jesus Christ. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." This is revealing in Christ. We understand the mystery of God, the purpose of God in creating this world, in creating Adam and Eve, and bringing us forth from him. He has a people whom he has ordained to make his very own peculiar people in the blood of Christ, born of the seed of Christ. Drop down to verse 11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this man of flesh, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so it's the Spirit which is given to you, sent to you by the Father and the Son, who makes known to us our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's not just a carnal, natural understanding of him, but a hope, a true hope, that he is my righteousness and that I'm nothing without him. I can do nothing apart from him. And so the Spirit makes us to know and to understand as those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You only know it by the Spirit of God. And so this is true for us in the first hour of faith, and it's true for us all the way until the end. It's true for us always. Without the Spirit, we do not know Christ. And so God has graciously, not by merit, not by our earning, God has graciously given us his Spirit. And the Spirit is poured out upon the people. And the Spirit comes and diligently shines the light, and diligently sweeps up the place, and diligently seeks out the lost sheep to gather them, to bring them home, to bring them to Christ. And so the Spirit finds those who are lost, and the Spirit guides you into all truth. All truth. How does he do it? Well, the one thing our Savior says is he shall not speak of himself. He doesn't do it by turning you to the work of the Spirit and gifts and miracles as though that's all your hope. The Spirit doesn't speak of himself. He doesn't glorify himself. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to John 15. John 15, let's go to verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of who? Of me, of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text, in verse 13, Christ said, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What's he hear? He's testifying to you of Christ. He's making known to you those things which he hears, those things which he has been given to say. He's testifying to the people of Christ. You know, this is why Paul said to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And as we saw in verse 1, that's the testimony of God, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I didn't know anything when I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in him. The Spirit of God dwelt in him and testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said those things, because he had the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God manifested, revealed this mystery of God in Christ Jesus. And so, just so we're clear here, the Holy Spirit is not giving us new revelation. The Holy Spirit isn't given to give us new revelation. The Spirit speaks according to this word right here. You keep reading this word. The Spirit speaks according to this word, these scriptures right here. He uses the word of God to teach of the Lord Jesus Christ. He teaches you this word and what this word is teaching and revealing according to the mysteries of God, making them known in Christ. In Christ. So Isaiah tells us, to the law and to the testimony, and we know, now I'm just going to read it here just so we remember it again. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Right? That's what he comes preaching, the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, the testimony of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so to the law and to the testimony, Isaiah says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. There's no light. That's why men can preach through the Bible, can preach through the books here and the scriptures, and never see Christ. because they have no light in them. They're not speaking according to the testimony. They're not speaking according to the law and the testimony which is given to reveal Christ, to reveal all our sinners, that we might receive the promise of God in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why the scriptures are given. That's what they're testifying to us. And that's why we read in Luke 24:27. This is Christ after he rose on the road to Emmaus with those two men. It says that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Christ expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Himself. Because that's the testimony of your God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. Behold my servant. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the salvation of God freely given to save sinners, lost, trembling, afraid. Sinners who have no righteousness, no reason to hope that God will receive them. Christ is come and is given to you. Look to him. Look to him. He is the very salvation of God. Paul reminded Timothy that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. So a lot of men know the scriptures, and a lot of men know doctrine, but that doesn't mean that they know the salvation of God, which is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that they know him. This is why our Lord, when he was speaking to the Jews in John 5:39, tells them, search the scriptures. Do that. For in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. They testify. This is the testimony of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know whether a man is speaking by the Spirit, who does he testify of? Does he speak of what man must do for God, and what man must do to save himself, and what man must do to make God's salvation effectual to him? Or does he glorify Christ? Does he declare to you and show unto you what Christ has accomplished for the people? And does the Spirit make it effectual in your heart? That this is my hope. He's my salvation. He is all my righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ. Except God intervene by grace, men will die in the darkness of their sins. And that's what our Lord said next. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Because man, the natural man, is content and happy to read the scriptures, looking for mysteries that tickle his fancy, but he never sees Christ. He never sees Christ. And that's what we need to see. That is the light of God. That he is the very testimony of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe him. Believe him. He is the very salvation of God. It's God that makes the difference in men. The Father chose his people. The Son purchased his chosen people, given to him. He purchased them with his own blood. And it's the Holy Spirit who is given to show us in these scriptures, the very testimony of God is declaring to you and speaking to you of Christ Jesus. And when the Spirit's given, he reproves. He reproves the world. His people scattered throughout the world. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, there's but one Savior. There's but one salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit's given to reprove us of sin, to know I'm the sinner. I'm the guilty sinner. I'm the one who's offended God. I'm the one who's trespassed against the laws of holy God. I'm the one full of iniquity and sin and death and darkness. And the Holy Spirit reproves us of righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. Christ is the righteousness of God. And he says, all who look to him, all who call upon his name shall be saved. They shall never be ashamed. And he says that the Holy Spirit reproves us of judgment. That you should know, you who hope in him, you who venture all your hope upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would know the weight and the power of those words which he spoke from the cross when he said, "It is finished. It's finished. Judgment is put away from you. Your God is satisfied and at peace with you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so the Spirit makes you, his lost child, found. He brings you into the light. And he brings you to know that all these things which God is, which all these things are, all these fruits in me are wrought in me by God. They're wrought of God, by God, by, in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything. He makes these things known to us. Come to Christ, believe on him, and trust his righteousness. You shall never be ashamed. You'll never go away sorrowful. When you stand before that throne of God, you shall be accepted. You shall be found faultless. Because in Christ Jesus, all your sins have been put away. Put away in the Lord Jesus Christ. You that believe on him, they're put away. All the promise of God by faith of Jesus Christ is contained in these words in John 16:13, which says, "And he, the Spirit, will show you things to come." He shows you Christ. He shows you the risen Savior who accomplished our redemption. He shows us what he came to do and what he accomplished in his coming. And he shows us that he shall return just as he promised. And he shall raise us up from the dead. And we shall be with him forevermore. Forevermore. The Spirit shows us that, testifying of Christ, delighting our hearts, reminding us when it's dark and we're in the valley of the shadow of death, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Christ is your Savior, your God and your Savior. Rejoice in him. John 6:45 says, "It's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." You that are taught of the Father, of the Spirit of God given to you by the Father, you come to Christ. He is salvation. He is the very testimony in your heart, testifying to you that you are the children of God, you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit, he came to reveal this living faith in us that looks to Christ and believes, Christ is my all. He's all my salvation. He's everything to me. And he gives you that peace and that comfort and rest. And when you are troubled, when you stumble, when you fall, it's him that turns you again back to Christ, to look to him, to behold your salvation, your Savior, who breaks your heart, who teaches you what you have need of being taught again, and shows you Christ. Christ, Christ is all. And that's what our Lord confirms for us, saying in verse 14, John 16:14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." The Spirit doesn't even glorify himself. He glorifies Christ in your hearts, so that Christ is your hope and joy. Listen to these scriptures in Colossians 2. You can turn there if you like. In Colossians 2, verse 6 through 10. Paul encourages our hearts, saying, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Be thankful. When you don't know what to pray, when your heart is cold and hard, begin with thanking your God. Thanking your God, who does not pay us according to what we deserve, but shows us grace and love and kindness and mercy. Thank him. Thank him for his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin right there. Thanking your God. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Christ, because that's the testimony of God, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And so the Spirit makes him all our pursuit and all our happiness. Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Savior is Christ. He is our husband. He is our friend. He is our Lord and our Savior. And your Father, your God, has put all things into His hand for your care and your keeping. And He sends you the Spirit, the other Comforter, to comfort your hearts, and He shall be with you forever. Forever. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. What's He talking about? The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. We're told it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And so the Spirit takes of the things of Christ and shows them unto you. He shows them unto you. Now, He says in verse 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Let me just say it this way. When Christ was taken away from His disciples, they had sorrow. When they saw Him crucified on the cross, they saw Him die, and His lifeless body taken down off that cross, and He was wrapped and buried in a tomb with a heavy stone put in front of it. He was dead. He died and was buried. And they were sorrowful. And the world rejoiced. While they were sorrowful, the world rejoiced and were glad that He had been put away. But He rose again. And then they were very joyful, very thankful, very happy, and the world was made sorry. That's what He says in verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your joy shall be turned into, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. This is the joy which the Holy Spirit gives to you in the new birth, because Christ is risen. And the day star is risen in your hearts, whereby you believe Him and call upon Him, because you see and know He is your Savior. He is the only salvation that God has provided, and He is sufficient, full, perfect, complete. His blood has purchased everything we need, and He has made you perfect in His righteousness. Trust Him. Rejoice in Him. Be thankful to your God for Him, because Christ is all, and He's shown you Christ and given you faith in Him. This is the ministry of that Comforter, the other Comforter which Christ spoke of, and He dwells with you forever, forever. Thank God for that mercy and grace. I pray He bless that word to your hearts. Amen.